Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen. Tonight, we have lots of questions, but I want to start off first by thanking the One Institute for their kind support. And I want to remind everybody that November 8th is a very special day because it's a seminar Dr. Allen is having. 9 to 5, Marriott, 4700 Airport Plaza Drive, Long Beach, California. And you can find more information about that at www.drpatallen.com. Dr. Allen, you're on the air.
Glad to be here.
How is everything tonight? You sound so much better.
I am so much better. My voice is, it has little squeaky times, but it is so much better.
I'm so glad.
I am too.
Okay, everyone, 323-203-0815 to call in and chat with Dr. Allen. Dr. Allen, we're going to start right off with a question that we have from one of your followers, and this is what she has to say. Dr. Allen, I could use some help. I've been duty dating after a romantic relationship that ended about 8 months ago. I've never had such good chemistry, compatibility, and communication. It was crushing for me when it ended. I've been duty dating now for 4 months. I'm seeing three men, each of which is over 51% valuable. But I have varying chemistry with each of them. I want to be the woman, and all three are masculine men. They even seem inversely related, but the chemistry and compatibility is good. So, of these three men, one is a great provider financially, one mediocre, one not so much. I feel like they're all on the verge of asking me to commit. We've had many discussions about it, including contract and sex. How do I make the decision, Dr. Allen?
You don't make the decision. Your instincts make the decision. When you when you're ready to be with somebody, your body will say, I don't want to be with the other ones.
So really,
it's a matter of women get what they want by knowing what they don't want.
Right.
And if a woman is sober,
right,
which means she is not binging on sugar, which is a mind-altering chemical. She's not drinking. She's not using drugs. And she's using medication by a doctor's prescription to help her brain work and not sedate her brain just so she doesn't feel pain. So it's a matter of who she doesn't want to lose the most. And what I recommend is, number one, she's only been separated from her, quote, love, and I'd love to know what the reason is. It sounds like he dumped her.
It does sound like that.
Okay, but I think I heard 4 months ago.
Yes, no, they broke up 8 months ago, but she's been duty dating for four.
4 months. It takes a pretty good 2 years to really detox off of a divorce, off of a funeral, you know, off
yes.
of a separation. So I believe every day she would do well at the end of the day to put down A, B, and C. Who's number one today? Instinctively.
Right.
Who's number two and who's number three?
Well, Dr. Allen, let me ask you this.
What?
You're an addiction specialist.
Yes.
And so people are often addicted to substances, chemicals, sugar,
right.
coffee, tea,
yes.
drugs, alcohol. Mm-hmm. But and then people are actually addicted to people, really.
Yes, they are. They're addicted to the oxytocin. Older men addict and younger women addict. And younger, it's oxytocin,
right.
which is nature's way of gluing good sex partners together to make little babies to expand humankind.
When somebody is coming off of a relationship, and I say that because it is an addiction, when they're coming off of a relationship and they find somebody else or they think they found somebody else within a short period of time, maybe a time that they really haven't had to come
off. We call that the transitional.
The transitional person.
Yes. It's the person that gives us temporary pleasure.
So it's really a way of feeding that addiction. Is it a healthy thing or?
It is as long as you don't have intercourse. If you have intercourse, you are now validating the oxytocin addiction, especially if you're a premenopausal woman or a postmenopause man, under 50 and over 50.
Got it.
If you are physically susceptible to oxytocin bonding, then I'm afraid your best bet is to date at least three people, you know, but don't have intercourse because it's a way for your body to say, okay, we've replaced him.
Gotcha.
Chemistry, compatibility, and communication. Great.
And that's your seminars. We've got a call. Hi, caller. Thanks for patiently waiting. You're on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
I do. Hi. I called a couple like about a month ago or 5 weeks ago.
Right.
And actually, it was a lot longer than that. Basically, I called because my ex-boyfriend's family had called me to come to dinner, and they had kept coming into my workplace to get
services. I remember that.
You remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, cut to he started slowly texting me after we had the dinner, and he had kept saying he was going to come in to get services, and I had called to find out if that was fine, and Dr. Pat Allen said sure. So, he instead invited me out for a drink. And we met, and it was really nice, and so there started the rekindled romance. Nothing serious. We were just dating because we were taking it slow, and he didn't try to do anything sexual. So my question is, so basically it's been he started heavily pursuing, calling, texting, we would go hiking, he would come over, we'd watch movies, it felt very much like we were dating again.
Right.
And he never tried to, we didn't talk about the relationship, we were just taking it very light and enjoying each other's company and time, and it was very
building
nice.
Friendship. Yes.
And then, of course, there was affection, but there was no sexual intercourse.
Honey, affection is sexual. It's simply not addictive.
Okay, so we were affectionate, and he never did try to be intimate. He never tried to stick his penis, you know.
Perhaps he was waiting for you.
It's fine because I was fine with it at the pace of it and everything is great. And then a week ago, but that was the consistency. It was very consistent. It was talking every day, making plans, texting.
I think that sounds wonderful as the beginning of a rebuild of a real relationship grounded in compatibility of friendship.
Okay. So... And I agree, and I was very comfortable, and I was very happy, and I was very open to the potential and
beautiful,
the possibility.
Beautiful.
It was awesome. So we hit a wall because 2 weeks into it, his roommate came in to get some services again. I mean, he came in to get some services, and he asked for a hairdresser, and one of my friends is a hairdresser, so I recommended that the guy that I'm dating, his best friend slash roommate, go get services, you know, haircut for my friend. So there comes a little bit of a snag. He goes and gets a haircut, and they start gossiping about the relationship, you know, the relationship I'm having with the guy I'm dating.
Yes.
The ex-boyfriend. And he basically tells the hairdresser, you know, so-and-so is living the single life. He's dating a bunch of girls. He's definitely, you know, he's just, for some reason, he's really saying, you know, and he said, I think he should just leave me alone. because he's never going to be in a committed relationship. He's not that kind of guy. He's not going to commit to anyone.
That's incorrect. I choose to believe that that man is trying to cuckold your almost boyfriend. He's competing with his friend, and it's probably because he either wants to prove he's a better man than your boyfriend, or he basically wants to steal you from him. So why don't we, as long as you're not having intercourse with anybody, you are basically simply, you know, exchanging friendships with two men.
Okay, so I get that, and I did not, I heard the gossip, and I chose to not believe it. It obviously didn't sit well with me when my friend shared the information, and he basically said, you know, the friend of my potential boyfriend said, you know, she's a, you know, the problem was she was needy, and she didn't understand he had kids, and he basically was kind of saying why my guy and I weren't together.
I want you to follow your instincts. Your instincts are your exing, returning boyfriend is rebuilding on a level that is more solid and more secure than just using you as a sex partner.
Okay, so that's great. So then what happens is weeks go by, and I do ignore it. I don't say anything. I don't bring it up. I just completely decide that's
good.
I ignore. So yesterday, so 4 weeks go by, and last week, the guy, he starts pulling away. He basically says, I'll call you tomorrow, and he didn't call. He did.
Now I'm going to reaffirm bait and switch. Bait and switch is when a man titillates. I call it clit teasing, like they call it prick teasing, if you tease them. I hear now that he is authentically titillating you into calling to get upset about his, quote, dating other people, as gossip says. You not asking him for something that would indicate free, cheap sex. I hear that he's now doing what I think his type may do, which is basically bait and switch. Give you some level of seductive attention and then drop back and watch you grovel, watch you get angry, and watch you beg. So don't.
Okay. Well, so last Wednesday we had confirmed plans, you know, a date for Wednesday night.
Who designed it?
He did. He designed it.
Okay, fine.
Because Tuesday we had plans to hang out, and he said, I can't do it because my band's practicing.
Fine.
So I have to do that, so we can do it tomorrow. I said, fine. Didn't ask questions. That's fine.
Good
girl. Next day, Wednesday comes, and he calls me at, you know, 10 in the morning. Good morning, how are you? You know, typical call that I would get. And he says, well, you know what, tonight I can't, we can't do this thing.
That's
tonight.
Fine. And he gives, did you ever notice that when you're with men you don't care about, they can stand you up, they can not do this or do that, and we don't care? Oh, it's okay, you're busy. The truth of the matter is, when a man wants you to be in pain, he will do these things because the pain you demonstrate indicates his importance to you. So if I were you, I would be respectful, casual, don't care what he does. He has 8 weeks between every contact to reach out to you. He's just testing.
Okay, so that night he said, I can't meet with you. He said, I can't do it. And I have band practice again tonight because I'm going, you know, we have a gig in Vegas on the weekend and we're doing that. So I can't, you know, see you again. And I was like,
fine.
Okay. And he said, I'll call you in a couple hours.
Great.
And
he doesn't.
He didn't. Right.
Fine. That's fine too.
Okay. So Friday comes and he had plans with me Thursday, and then he drops the ball again and basically at the very last minute says, you know what, this came up. He said, I'll be done at 4. What time are you finished? I said, 4. It's great. Okay, so we'll get together after that, and maybe we'll do something. Well, and he said, we will do something. We'll go to happy hour. I said, fine. I said, well, maybe we can do happy hour. So we had plans, and then 4 o'clock comes, and then he starts with, oh, my, you know, So the thing is,
what is your thing? I've got the picture. I've described it.
So then I communicate on Friday because I'm starting to feel the drop back. I said, and I made an appointment. I said, I just wanted to.
But now you gave him what he wanted. Pain.
Damn it.
You gave him the pleasure of your pain.
I didn't mean to. I just thought it would be good to communicate.
No, dear, it wouldn't.
I'm sorry. Well, now I know. Now, cut to today. Yesterday, his sister came in to get a treatment for me. And she's, you know, talking about what's going on with her, what this, that, this. And she doesn't know we're dating. And she basically says, you know what? I am so, before I say anything, she says, my brother is being the biggest jerk. I don't want you to date him. He is being the biggest jerk right now. And she starts laying in on him. And I looked at her and I said, well, what do you mean? I mean, I said, I am dating him. You know, we've been dating about for another 5 weeks. And then she just really got disturbed because he has a girlfriend.
No, dear. He has girlfriends. He has bunches of them.
Yes.
So,
but one particular one that she ends up telling me.
I want to know what you apologize for. Yoo-hoo, what did you call him, make the appointment, and tell him painfully?
On Friday before he went to Vegas?
Yes.
I just said that I didn't appreciate that he would call me and not, that he told me he would call me and then he doesn't call.
That's passive aggressive, and you pleased him immeasurably.
Oh, God. Okay, so now what?
Now you don't do that again. You don't listen to anybody. You don't listen to the sister, the friends. What you do is you be a lady when he calls. You be a lady on the dates. You basically act as if he's just one of the guys.
Okay, so here's what he did, though.
No. We do not need to hear. You are having so many orgasms telling me the story of this man.
I'm not.
Yes, you are, because what you're doing is you're saying, Pat, I like him, and he's hurting my feelings. And I'm saying, do yourself a favor, and be after this phone call, don't gossip about this situation. Just simply make appointments with him. Watch and see how often he does or doesn't make them and keep them. And then when you get tired of this, say, you know what? I've so appreciated our phantom relationship, except I'm done with it. So basically, take my name out of your book.
Okay, well, the second part of the question is, I think he is a narcissist. I'm wondering if...
Honey, we're not going to diagnose his problem. I'm saying he's a man, and he likes women. If you want to be...
Okay, so it's okay that he has another girl that...
It's okay if he has tons of girls.
He never committed. He just asked you on dates.
That's
you guys
right.
are just dating. It's you're not...
There's nothing going here except... I like it that you're looking like you're designing a responsible friendship, but you're telling me stories that are not friendly. So when you get tired of this abuse, you're going to say, I don't like our phantom relationship.
Why don't I say it now?
Because you didn't say you wanted to say it now.
Well, that's my question, is when is enough?
You can't say it until he calls again and asks you out.
And when he calls again and asks you out, if that's your impulse, then say it.
But not an impulse, instinct.
Yeah, instinct.
Are you truly, I don't hear you done with him.
That's the problem.
I want you to act like you're available till you're done. You still hope. And by the way, hope kills.
Yeah.
You know what is required when
wait,
you
wait,
hope?
Wait, say this again. Hope kills?
Hope kills. Do you know why? Because in order to have hope, you have to have another person change.
And that doesn't almost ever happen.
You got it. When you are in reality, you say, he's done this, this, and this so often, I'm done. So the next time he calls me for a phantom date, I'm going to say, you know what? This is not something I want to experience anymore. Thank you for the good times we did have, and no thank you. I'm not willing to make any more dates because you break them consistently.
Right. It demonstrates that you lack importance to him, in my opinion.
No, he's baiting and switching her into a giving slut.
Wow, yeah, I wouldn't want that. I wouldn't want to be in that position.
So, are you ready to say that upon his next invitation?
Well, based on the conversation we had today, he basically says he's lost. He doesn't know what he's doing. He's with a girl. He's with this other girl. He told me he's with. He came clean. He said he has this other girl.
Did you notice you didn't answer my question? A non-answer is a negative answer. You are not ready. You want to fight with him. You want to battle with him.
You want to try to win him over.
I actually don't. So
all right. So are you ready to say goodbye? When he called you. You don't call him to say goodbye.
When he calls me, I say goodbye.
When he calls you and asks you out again. Are you willing to say goodbye? I mean, you might change your mind between now and then, but right now, this minute, do you love yourself enough to say, I'm not comfortable with our style of relatedness, I don't want to date you anymore?
Yes.
And I want to tell you something. Don't be surprised if when you say that, he'll say, I'm willing to change. Will you give me another chance? And if he does do that, give him another chance.
Okay, so when he calls me again, I say, I'm not comfortable with our style.
No, first he's got to call you and ask you out. What they usually do when they're like this.
What if he's going to call and just say, hi, how are you?
That's right. You know what that means? Come on, woman, ask me out so I can stand you up. It has to be him calling you and him asking you out and you saying, okay.
So, Dr. Allen, what's really going on? When he calls her and they make a date and he stands her up, is that an ego stroke for him? What is that?
What that is it's sadistic, and what it does is it evaluates how much pain he can get into her and out of her that says how much she loves him.
Ah, okay. You know what? We're going to have to move on because we've got other callers. Thanks, caller.
Good luck.
Hi, you're on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question? Hello? And we lost that caller. Okay. So, that was a heavy question. Here's the next question.
What?
Dr. Allen.
Yes.
Oh, let's take this one. They've been trying to call. Hold on. You are on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Yes, this is John and Denise, couple.
Oh, hi, John.
Hi, Pat.
So, what can we do for you? I'm fine. I'm better.
You sound great.
Good.
My question is,
what?
If I'm angry with Denise over something,
yes.
What's the best way to communicate to her and
it's
talk
called
to her about that?
Denise, I have some negative feelings to share with you. When would you be most comfortable, hopefully today, listening to me? It's called a tool.
Yes.
So do it, and then tell her what you feel, and then ask her what she feels about what you feel.
Yes. Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And another question, Pat.
What?
Denise always asks me, is this a good time, John, to ask you about this. Or this is a good time.
That's her asking for an appointment. I totally support that.
Do I do the same for her?
We just taught you that. We just taught you that. Denise, okay. I want to share something painful. Remember, I don't want women to teach, preach, bitch, moan, or question a man without an appointment. That's rude and disrespectful. And I don't want a man to dump his pukey feelings on a woman's sensitivity without an appointment. I don't want you to bitch, moan, teach, preach, question without an appointment. And if you'll notice, bitching, moaning is right lobe. Teaching and preaching is left lobe. I do not want you to not cherish a woman, even when you're telling her something painful.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Pat.
You're welcome.
It's been wonderful. The relationship has been wonderful.
Good.
I have a couple issues I'm working on, but it looks like I'm finding some clarity.
Good.
And I'm just so grateful to have you in our lives for spiritual advisement.
I like that today, and it's okay if you don't like me.
Thanks, John.
All right.
Okay, so we have a question from one of our wonderful people out there, and
I do appreciate their calls and their emails to you.
Yes, they're wonderful, and it's fabulous. So this gentleman is you know what? I'm going to regret this for from the trying to
when
get
in doubt, take a live one.
All right. You're on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Oh. Hi, yes. I have a couple of questions. One, I don't know if you guys could have time for a dream. It's a short dream. And then two, I have a question about when to use the tools. Like, I've heard Pat say that we're not supposed to use the tools while we're dating. We're supposed to just get spoiled by the guy.
What?
And then,
I don't recall that.
Oh, okay. So I'm confused. Sorry.
Yeah.
So, like,
I don't,
when do I use the tools? Like,
whenever you're uncomfortable. The tools are better than fighting. There's four ways to be angry. Frustrated. Why? Resentment. You. Denial. What problem? We don't have a problem. And then indignation. I'm angry. I'm damn angry. And I'm not going to put up with this. What was the name of that movie?
Oh,
Network, newspaper.
No. What was the name of that movie?
Whatever. I can see him.
Hey, I know what you're talking. I think it was Al Pacino.
Anyway. Whenever a woman is uncomfortable, I want her to, a man too. Whenever a woman or a man are uncomfortable, my gift, my doctoral work, androgynous semantic realignment, is changing your tires so you don't wear them out. And in the case of a woman, you can start that on date number one, tool one. Don't ask a man. If you want to be cherished, do not ask a man what he feels. Unless he's puking or bleeding. If he asks you what you think, tell him what you would be happy with. Second tool, when you want to teach, preach, bitch, moan, or question, make an appointment on the first or the 31st date. It doesn't matter. If you're angry with him, but you don't have to call the police, a doctor, and a lawyer, then please make him right. You had every right to say that, think that, feel that, do that, but I'm not comfortable with that. I don't want that in my life. What do you think about not doing that or saying that? And what can I do to help you and I do it? And then the fourth tool. 90% of all communication is nonverbal. It's body language, tones of voice, gesture, posture, facial expression. So you'd say to him, I sense by the look on your face you're upset about something. Am I right? Yes. When would it be convenient today for you to tell me about it? That's the fourth tool. The fifth tool is time out, like a referee. Time out. What are you doing? I'm signaling you that I'm uncomfortable, and it would be nice if you would say, what can I do to help us feel better right now? So it's never too early to use the tools.
Okay, so I obviously heard something different one day, maybe.
You know what? I wouldn't doubt it a bit. Just because I said it, it may not be what you heard.
Yeah, right. So when he's courting me, I can still use these tools.
You use it when he's dating you, courting you, friendly. You can use these tools at work. You can use these tools anywhere you want. The only difference between work and in private life is we're all wanting respect at work. So it's what do you think, what do I think?
Okay. Can I move on to just a short dream really quick?
Well, it depends on how long.
No, we've got more calls, Dr.
All right, we've got calls.
Thanks. You're on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Yes, I do. Hi, my name is Nick, and I'm calling from Arizona. And my question is, I'm new to Dr. Allen's work, and my question was regarding same-sex relationships.
Yes.
I'm wondering how it...
No difference. None.
No difference. Okay.
None.
So, okay, because I know I sometimes, you know, I take usually the
are you
role
gay?
In
are you
a
gay,
sexual
sir?
Relation.
Yoo-hoo, are you gay?
Yes, I am. I'm a gay male. I'm in my 40s.
Okay.
And
do you want to be respected first, cherished second, cherished first, respected second?
I'm sorry, can you repeat that?
Do you want to be respected by your mate first, cherished second, or do you want to be cherished first, respected second? Or do you want to be respected and cherished equally?
I would say equally. I don't think it really one could take precedence over the other. I think it goes hand in hand.
You know what? That's called narcissism. The only person
you can't have
the only person
cherished at the
equally.
Time.
No. Can't be done.
Why is that?
I think I want, I feel, I don't want makes me money. When you say, I think, how do you feel, or I feel bad, what do you think, what can I do to help us do better, what can I do to help us feel better? In the gay community, it is cliche-wise to say top man, bottom man. Which one are you?
The bottom.
That's the cherishable one.
Hmm.
That's the cherishable. You would like a man to pursue you, and you respond
right.
to him. That, sir, is the waltz of love. And it doesn't
okay.
matter if you're straight, gay, lesbian. There are more men today with vaginas than ever before. There are more women with penises than before. And everybody's androgynous. We are all
right.
ambisexual by temperament.
Right.
Now, Dr.
Sure.
Allen, hey, caller, hold on one second. Dr. Allen, when somebody cherishes you, they respect you by the act of that.
If you want to be cherished.
Right.
If he was a top man and his partner or partner-to-be said, how do you feel, honey? He would say, I'm fine.
Right.
Don't
right.
mother me.
Right, right. Okay, go ahead, caller.
Yeah, no, I find that, you know, of course, we all need to get out of our ego, of course, and I also love Marianne Williamson's work, but I find that in a sexual
Marianne Williamson uses my work.
Yes, I know. She spoke of you, yes.
I know
that's
that.
I found you.
So guess what? I really respect her because she gives me credit, and that's a wonderful, humble way to be. And so
yes, it's nice to get back from where you've learned from. In a sexual relation, I take the submissive role, but I kind of, if I think of, you know...
Hey, wait a minute. I don't believe in submitting or... what is the next word? I like
dominant.
Acquiescing. When you look up the meaning of the word acquiescing, do you know what all of us, sir, all of us are yin and yang. All of us are ambisexual, see? But some people, like Jenner, went out and got their body switched. But all of us are androgynous. China has been doing yin-yang quantum physics for over 2,000 years. And I want to recommend the book for you
okay.
as well as the audience. It's called The Yin-Yang Way of Life by Dr. Kim and Dr. Lee. Now, if you want to be cherished, then you've got to remember to always ask your partner, your mate, what he thinks, what he wants. And you've got to, when he asks you what you think, Tell him what you feel. I feel good about that. You know why? Equality in communication causes conflict. Equity causes intimacy. I think, how do you feel? I feel, what do you think? What can I do to help us do better? What can I do to help us feel better? I make little money when people do that.
But lots of money the other way.
Yes. Do you have a partner?
Not right now. I do not, no.
Okay. What happened to it?
Well, it's funny because I'm a flight attendant, and the last person, you get in a cycle of, wanting intimacy, so you settle for a hookup, and then you think, why did I do that? It leaves me empty, and I want something more meaningful. And I met somebody who wanted to take it to the next level so fast that I didn't feel that there was the attraction there on a...
What's the next level? Was he willing to go monogamous? Was he willing to go continuous? Was he willing to go long-term?
Well, we didn't get that far because some fear got in me where I thought, I'm not feeling this needing to go to the next step. I can do that easily when it's just a hookup, but yet when it was something I wanted
yes.
more meaningful, I backed away from it for some reason.
I totally understand that. Whereupon you would say, I so appreciate your invitation to being casual, but I'm not comfortable with it. Are you willing to date for a while so that I can fall in love with you?
Right. Right.
Okay.
Exactly. Thank you. Thank you very much for your
You're
time.
You're very welcome. And by the by, read my book, Getting to I Do. All you have to do is change one of the words. It's built for straight people. But my colleague, Robert Storr, and I are writing a book, and it's called From Both Sides Now. And it's going to be directed specifically to the gay and lesbian community.
Thank you. I'll look for that. Thank you for your time. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much, caller. Dr. Ellen, that is so wonderful because this gentleman who called has a very close question to the question that I've been trying to ask you. And the question is, one of our wonderful Facebook people has asked you, what book do you recommend for a man who is gay who wants to have a long-term monogamous relationship?
I recommend you get that book by that lady with the boy's name, Pat Allen. And then in that book, listen what's in that book. William Morrow, the publisher, required that I put a woman who's feminine, Leslie.
Right.
And a woman who's masculine, Andrea.
Right.
And Leslie wanted a masculine man she respected.
Right.
And Andrea wanted a feminine man who was writing the great American novel, taking the kids to the dentist. And if you saw The Intern, you saw that man, the husband of that woman, in that movie.
Right.
So all you do with my book is turn one of the names, instead of Leslie, say Lewis.
And instead
and
of
Mark,
Andrea and Andy.
Andrew.
Right.
All you got to do is change the name of one of them.
So really, what the basic truth is, it's just the energy. Whatever energy you are represents. It doesn't really matter what your name is. Or
doesn't matter what your genitals are.
Yeah, right. What your physical genitals are. So I want to speak to our gay and lesbian community and followers. And I want you to know that Dr. Allen's book translates for you, and read it. It's worth the read. And you can find it in Amazon.com. And speaking of that, I want to talk about Monday Night.
Oh, by the way, there's a second book, Staying Married and Loving It.
It's a great book.
Okay.
It is. Dr. Allen, you've moved out
well,
of the
we
Odyssey.
Well, we moved because this wonderful internet radio show, LA Talk Radio, attracted so many people, we couldn't get them in the Equity Theater.
Right.
I'm sad about that, the Odyssey in Los Angeles. So we've moved over to the Marriott Courtyard at the address
6333 Bristol Highway, Culver City.
And we do it from 7 to 8:30 every Monday night.
Yes.
And we do it in Orange County at the Orange County Community Center at...
in Costa Mesa. You can find all that information at www.drpatallen.com, which is our go-to place for information. Also, you can find updates almost constantly on Facebook and look for us on Twitter and Google Plus. Okay, Dr. Allen, we've got another question.
All right.
And I want to say to our listeners tonight, I'm sorry that I've had to blow some of you off. So if you want to call again and try again, it's 323-203-0815. And our phone lines have been pretty busy and we've had some heavy duty calls tonight. So Dr. Allen, let me see. This is a good one. Yes. Ooh, maybe that. Maybe not that one. Dr. Allen, I am wondering what I do about my husband who has gone so female, I don't even know who I'm sleeping with anymore.
I'd like to know how old he is.
Glad you asked. She says, I am 46 and he is 55.
I got news for you. The neurobiological change between 45 and 50 is predominantly influential. When men go down on their testosterone, very often the estrogen in their body causes a very great upheaval of sensitivity.
Right.
And when women are 45 to 50 and perimenopausal, the estrogen in their body goes down, and the progesterone and testosterone goes impacting. It's
right.
always been there. It's
right.
not growing in there. And therefore, women become more masculine.
Right.
And men become more feminine. So when you get to the age of 45 to 50, you've got to remember that you and your partner are both yin and yang. So if you're the wife and your husband, who's moving into his feminine yin, if he says, golly, I'm really unhappy about this or that, it would behoove you to say, what can I do to help you and I feel better, honey?
Okay, yeah, because what she's saying is, he's such a wussy now. He's driving me crazy. I'm completely repulsed. I want to run away and hide from him. I'm grossed out.
I got news for you. And he'll find a nice young woman who'll respect him better than you do.
Right.
There are 15 old ladies to ever one man.
Right. Okay.
You know, and the reason for that is men will either replace you or build a harem or they will die.
Right.
Of lack of cherishing as they grow older.
Right.
Men need to be mated and married more than women.
Right.
Well, women can group up and visit Israel. Do you see?
I do.
Men, if they can't find a loving woman, and it may be a caregiver.
Right.
It may be a daughter. A man needs a loving woman in his life.
Right.
Jules Michelet in the 1800s said, there is no such thing as an older woman. If a woman is good and she knows how to love a man, he reaches the infinite through her.
Fabulous.
And what that means is that she knows when to ask him how he feels and when to ask him what he thinks. Young men like to be respected. Older men like not only to be respected, they like to be cherished as well. And they will signal you by the way they talk. And you, my dear lady, you are becoming more masculine.
Right.
And if your husband is smart, when you say, I have some ideas, he will say, what are they, dear? I'd love to hear them.
Well, hopefully she will take a look at your tools. And I would
and
suggest
you know where they're
it.
At? Get to the website
yes.
and watch the over 50 relationship.
Yes, because I think that if you've loved this man this long, and it appears they've been married for quite a long time, since they were in their teens. Really.
She has a habit of wanting him to be respectable. He
right.
needs to be cherished more when he gets older.
Right.
And we need to be respected more.
Right. Well, I think she is saying that they married when she was young. And then I think that she, I think that we don't always necessarily expect that this is going to happen. We have a caller, and let's see what they have to say. Hey, caller, you're on the air with Dr. Ellen. Do you have a quick question?
Oh, hi. This is Fabiola. How are you today?
Good.
Fine.
Hi, Pat. Okay, so my question is, I was wondering if it's possible to be completely numb to love and... because for the longest, I haven't fallen in love.
Have you ever been in love?
Pardon me?
Have you ever been in love where you were compatible sexually and you were compatible communication-wise? Chemistry, compatibility, and communication. Have you ever been in love with a man or a woman?
Yes. The last time that I fell... deeply in love was about 10 years ago or even 12
what
years ago.
What happened to it?
He broke up with me and it was very painful.
I understand. That's called PTSD. You were traumatized.
Okay.
And you may want to go to an EMDR specialist to have them connect your feelings with your thinking, because right now I'm hearing you disassociating. When we're traumatized, especially in vulnerable areas like love, we are even susceptible to a heart attack, which is called the broken heart syndrome. It's called the Takotsubo cardiomyopathy heart attack. And it's the lower chamber in the heart fills up with fluid and sets up a heart attack in a perfectly healthy heart. So I hear that you didn't die of a heart attack, but you were traumatized. I'm recommending that you call or website emdraustintexas.com and ask them to send you a note on the website. People in your area that specialize in EMDR trauma work. Trauma work, EMDR, was created by a Dr. Shapiro, a woman. And she has books on this subject, about six of them. So are you interested in going to an EMDR trauma therapist in your area? Where do you live?
I'm actually in Calgary, Canada.
Go ahead. Austin, Texas, EMDR.com. They will send you lists of people in your area.
Will do.
Good
girl.
Okay, Dr. Ellen, and I've made a promise, so I'm going to keep that promise right now. Dr. Ellen, my question is, do feminine men turn their partners into mothers?
Well, feminine men are very feeling-centered, and the women that like them are very mothering.
Okay.
So the men don't. Here's what turns a woman into a mother. A mother who is a mother, too. Mom is masculine.
Right.
Do you see?
Yes.
And so if a girl is raised with a mother who's a mother and doesn't stop mothering when the girl is 8 and when the boy is 10, unless they're disabled.
Right.
Do you see?
So it's really a trait, and possibly what we're saying is, it brings it out in them. It makes it flourish, that mother thing.
Women that are raised by fathers that like their daughters to be cherished, do you see?
Yes.
Do not become mothers to men that want to be cherished.
Gotcha.
They attract men that are willing to give, protect, and cherish that woman. But there are men that are so cherished or lacking in cherishing from their mothers that they find a woman that was raised to be masculine. There's a lid for every pot. And I say, I have no problem with masculine mothering women as long as they enjoy their sensitive, vulnerable, feminine men.
All right. Well, Dr. Allen, as usual, it went by so fast. It's unbelievable. What did you have to say to me tonight before we run away?
Well, the only thing I ever think of is the only way you know you love yourself or anybody else is by the commitments you're willing to make and keep.
Beautiful. Everybody, don't forget about that seminar. And I just want to warn you that we just only have a very few spots left. Go to the website, check it out. You can sign up there, www.drpatallen.com, and we are gone.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.